Wait a minute, this sounds like rock and or roll.
Welcome to the second episode of Rock and or Roll. I'm your reluctant host, BJ. On the last show, the first episode, I gave you a sort of introduction to me, and then I went into an introduction of power pop, the origins of the term and the genre. Every song that I played on the last episode, except for the two Knack songs at the end, were songs by bands that were mentioned specifically by Greg Shaw in the March 1978 issue of Bomp magazine, where he lays out exactly what he meant by the term power pop, and he goes into how the genre evolved over the course of from the 60s over the course of the 70s into the late 70s when the genre really exploded. So some episodes of this show, like the last episode, I'm going to give a lot of information and talk too much, and then some episodes, like today's show, I'm going to just play a lot of songs, not talk quite as much. So I didn't put a lot of thought into the order of the songs as I'm going to play them for you today. I'm just going to play a lot of my favorite power pop songs, and this will probably just be the first of two, maybe three episodes like this. There's a lot of gray area between as punk got poppier and mod, the genre of mod came about, and power pop, and then goes into new wave. There's a lot of gray area there with some of the bands of which is punk, power pop, etc. So a lot of the poppy punk stuff that I love, I'm going to save that for its own episode and try to concentrate here on the power pop stuff. So when I was trying to decide what songs, what bands to play, I was kind of torn about some of the bands. There are some power pop bands that are better known than others. You know, that I say, there's different levels of obscurity. So there's, I mean, to the average person, all power pop is obscure. But to the music fan, you know, bands like The Records or Pez Band might not be obscure. If you're familiar with some of the compilations that Rhino Records put out in the 90s and stuff. So a lot of people, those are some of the bands that people might know about. But then there might be a lot of listeners that want to hear the Records and Pez Band too. So I picked a few of those bands that are more well known that I would play songs by. So Pez Band, they formed in Chicago in the early 70s, and they signed a record deal in 1976, and they recorded their first album in 1977, and it's a great self-titled record. The Records were an offshoot of the pub rock band Kersal Flyers. In 1977, guitarist John Wicks joined the Kersals, and Wicks and Kersal's drummer Will Birch started writing songs together. And then when the Kersal Flyers broke up, the Records were born. The records are most famous probably for their song Starry Eyes from their first album, which was called Shades in Bed, but in the US it was just a self-titled record. But I'm going to play probably my favorite song by the records from their second album, Crashes, called Hearts Will Be Broken. Another of the more possibly well-known power pop bands would be the Real Kids from Boston. The Real Kids were led by John Felice, who was actually in the first incarnation of the Modern Lovers in the early 70s when he was just a teenager. The Real Kids really started out as more of a punk band and have a very punky sound, but there's also a lot of elements of power pop in there, especially on the later stuff, and then when John Felice formed his band post-Real Kids band, the Taxi Boys. The first Real Kids album was released by a small label called Red Star in 1978, and it's a great record. Alright, now we're going to get into some of my real favorites, some of the little gems that I've found over the years. If I think of my favorite power pop songs, one of the first songs that comes to mind is a song called Shake Away by a band called The Pop. Now, The Pop had a couple of singles in 76, 77 on small labels. They were an LA band. They were on the LA rock scene in the mid-late 70s. And they were more of a rock band when their self-titled record came out in 1977. And then they signed with Arista Records, and Earl Mankey, who you're going to hear more about on this show, Earl Mankey was in the early version of Sparks on the first two Sparks records before the Mayall Brothers moved over to the UK. And Earl Mankey produced some of the best power pop records, in my opinion. And he produced the record Go in 1979 by The Pop. And that record featured one of my favorite power pop songs, like I said, called Shake Away.
Shake away.
Another one of my favorite power pop records is a 1981 record called Apart from the Crowd by a band called Great Buildings. Great Buildings formed in 1978, also in L.A., and the singer for Great Buildings, Danny Wilde, was a former member of a band called The Quick, who released a very Sparks-influenced LP in 1976 on Mercury Records called Mondo Deco, and that record was produced also by Earl Mankey. The Great Buildings record in 1981, that band, Danny Wilde was the singer, and the guitar player was Phil Solom. Now, Danny Wilde and Phil Solom would later find fame as the Rembrandts, most famous for their theme song for Friends. And if you think about it, the Friends theme song really is a power pop song, and there's some pedigree there. Danny Wilde and Phil Solom were in Great Buildings, and their 1981 record, like I said, on CBS, Apart from the Crowd, is awesome. And they had a minor hit with the song Hold On to Something, but my favorite song from the record by far is a song called And the Light Goes On. Another one of my most favorite power pop records is a record by a band called The Numbers from 1979. They were the Canadian band from Toronto, and their record called Add Up came out on a label called Basement Records, which was an offshoot of a better-known Canadian label called Attic Records. Their record was actually the first record released on that Basement Records offshoot. And it's a great record all the way through, but the first song, Sideways Elevator, is one of my favorite power pop songs. One of my favorite bands of the era is a band called Fingerprints, with a Z on the end. They were formed in 1979 by Scottish vocalist Jimmy O'Neill and guitarist Cha Burns, and their first album, The Very Dab, is much more of a punk record, but their second album, 1980's Distinguishing Marks, which is impeccably produced by Nick Garvey from The Motors, is one of the best albums of the era, in my opinion. And definitely one of the best power pop albums you're ever going to hear. Jimmy O'Neill and Cha Burns would later form another band called The Silencers, who are much, much poppier even than Fingerprints. Really great band, though. Fingerprints had one more record after Distinguishing Marks on Stiff Records called Beat Noir. And it was a much more eclectic sounding album, but some great songs. But if you're looking for a great power pop record, you can't go wrong with Distinguishing Marks from 1980, including this song, the amazing Houdini Love.
Just believe it in me.
Moving over to NYC now for a great band formed in 1976 called Quincy. They were originally managed by Hilly Kristal, the owner of CBGB's. They signed with Columbia in 1980 and released a really good self-titled debut record, but then they were sued by Quincy Jones for using the name Quincy, which is ludicrous, but it caused the band to change their name to Lulu's Temple, and they released an EP in 83, and later a couple of the guys formed another band called Smash Palace. But that first Quincy record from 1980 on Columbia is great, especially the first song, Turn the Other Way Around. I'm going to move it over to the Midwest for a while now, starting with a band from Springfield, Missouri called Fool's Face. Their first album was released in 1979 called Here to Observe, but they really got good on their second and third records, 1981's Tell America and 1983's Public Places.
You had before. As long as there are no complications, we can take the easy way out. Ooh, yeah. But I won't make it hard for you. No, I won't make it hard for you. No, I won't make it hard for you.
Staying in the Midwest, I've got a song for you from a 1981 EP by a band called Luxury. They were from Iowa. One more from the Midwest. This is from a 1981 album called File Under Pop Vocal by a band called The Wiggs, who were from Milwaukee.
Mama told you take it slow before you hurt a little girl. Daddy says be careful who you talk to, babe, it's a strange world. You don't have to tell me anymore. There ain't nothing that I gotta know that doesn't already show.
Over in Seattle in 1979, a band called The Heats released a really great album called Have an Idea.
Hey!
The Tours were a UK band formed by Ronnie Mayer. I really love their 1979 single called Tourist Information. Now, after the Tours, Ronnie Mayer put together another group called Da Biz, D-A-B-I-Z, and put out a great single called This Is No Audition. The Heroes were a UK band formed in 1979, and they put out a surprisingly great record called Border Raiders in 1980. We'll be right back. A sort of similar record to the Heroes record in my mind is the second album by a band called Interview, another British band that formed in 77. They signed with Virgin. Their first record, Big Oceans, from 1979, isn't great. It has a couple of good songs, but their second record, Snakes and Lovers, which was just a self-titled album in the U.S., is really great all the way through. Kimberly Rue was the guitar player in the Soft Boys with Robin Hitchcock, and in 1981, he released a pretty cool solo album called The Bible of Bop. So Kimberly Rue then formed a band called The Waves, and they put out an EP called Shock Horror in 1982. So that band, The Waves, of course, after that first EP, they became known as Katrina and The Waves. Speaking of bands that go through name changes, there was a really cool British band that formed in 1976. They were called the Kidda Band, and they're also known as the Incredible Kidda Band. But by the time they released an awesome single in 1981 called If Looks Could Kill, they were going by the name The Kicks. In a similar vein to the Kidda Band was an Irish band, pop punk band called the Star Jets, who formed in 76. Their first single, released by Epic in 79, called It Really Doesn't Matter, is exceptional. Another of my favorite power pop songs is a song by a band called The Keys. Their 1981 album was produced by Joe Jackson. and included an amazing song called I Don't Wanna Cry. So after the Knack were so huge, after Get the Knack was such a huge hit in 79, the record labels really went into a signing frenzy and signing power pop bands. So a lot of records are out there by these bands that it's hard to find a lot of information about. They were just scooped up in the wake of the Knack, like this record from 1980 by a band called The Roulettes. One of my favorite discoveries is a song from the soundtrack of a 1982 Australian film called Starstruck that I originally bought because it featured a band called The Swingers, which was Phil Judd, who was the original singer in Split Enz, and he had a power pop sort of band called The Swingers. But the song that really sticks out on that soundtrack is by a band called Turnaround, and the song is called Turnaround. Didn't mean that to me.
something you should know.
So on the first episode, I talked about Dwight Twilley and the Dwight Twilley Band, that Dwight Twilley Band was made up of Dwight Twilley and Phil Seymour. And in 1980, Phil Seymour released a self-titled solo album, which is truly a power pop classic and features possibly my favorite power pop song, period, a song called Baby, It's You. Another pretty interesting record from the power pop era was this split EP by the Chicanes and the Patriots. The Patriots were a band from Philadelphia, and the Chicanes were a UK band. And the record on one side was the EP by the Patriots called Pharaoh's Land, and on the other side was the EP by the Chicanes called Second Thoughts. The first song on the Chicane side is called Another Pretty Face. My favorite song on the Patriots side of the record is a song called She Loves You Too. Remember we talked about Earl Mankey at the beginning of the show. He was in Sparks on their first two records, and he produced the song. He produced the album by The Pop called Go. I played the song Shake Away, and I talked about how he produced the record by The Quick, which featured Danny Wilde previously to Great Buildings. Earl Mankey also produced a record called 16 Tambourines by a band called The 3 O'Clock, which is an incredible record, and the production on the record is brilliant. Another example, of course, of Earl Mankey's stellar production is the self-titled 1979 record by 2020. I played Giving It All from their first single on the first episode. 2020 are probably best known for the first song off that first album called Yellow Pills, but I have a real fondness for another song off that record called Leaving Your World Behind. Okay, I'm just going to throw some songs at you now. This is a song from a 1980 single by a band called The Letters. This is one of those songs that kind of straddles genres between maybe punk and power pop. It's called Nobody Loves Me. Another song that's kind of hard to pigeonhole into one genre or another is a song from a 1978 single by a band called The Necessaries. Ernie Brooks was the bass player in that band. He was in the Modern Lovers on their first records. And Ed Tomney, I think his name is, the guitar player, he wound up in a band later on called Rage to Live. That 78 single, the song's called You Can Borrow My Car. And you tell me, punk, power pop? I'm not sure. So in the mid-late 70s, there was a really cool music scene going on in Kansas City, and there was a record label called Titan Records that was putting out singles by these bands. And one of the bands, one thing you'll find in the power pop punk genre is there's a lot of band names where there's more than one. Like, for example, this band from Kansas City, The Boys. There was a British band called The Boys that were more of a punk band. This band, The Boys, definitely power pop. This is mid-70s, I think. 76, maybe.
I never wanted to say goodbye.
Another great Titan Records artist from Kansas City was Gary Charlson. There are so many more songs to play, but I'm going to try to keep these episodes to about an hour and a half, unless you tell me differently. If you want it longer, I'll make it longer, but for right now, we'll keep it to an hour, hour and a half. So I'll be able to play a few more songs on this episode. One interesting one, there's a band called The Laughing Dogs. They had a self-titled record in 1979. Interesting trivia about that record, the album cover shows a young boy sitting on a stoop, New York City apartment building with a weird-looking dog. That picture was supposed to be the cover of the Wicked Lester album that never came out, the record that Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley made before Kiss. So the Laughing Dogs wound up using that photo on their record. Really good album. They had another album after that, too, called Meet Their Makers, Laughing Dogs Meet Their Makers, which had another great album cover, which had each member of the band with his mother. That's a great album cover, too, a really good album, too. So if you ever happen upon those Laughing Dogs records, check them out. But this is a song from the first Laughing Dogs record with that Wicked Lester album cover. It's called Reason for Love. Alright, I think I'm going to close out the show by playing you a few of my favorite songs from these Power Pearls compilations. The Power Pearls compilations, I don't know where they came from. They were, maybe they were Japanese, they might have come out of Europe. They were vinyl-only compilations, I think late 90s they were coming out. And by the time I found out about them, they were impossible to get your hands on. They were vinyl only. They were limited pressing. They were compilations of really obscure power pop, punky stuff, mostly from singles, from 45s, from all over the world. They were vinyl only. There were 10 of them. And they were really impossible to get. So I know I told you on the last episode about I was in these trading circles and I would trade CDRs back and forth through the mail with other music nerds. And there was this guy, Mark, that I traded with, and he had Power Pearls, all 10 of them, on vinyl. But he had no way to digitize his records. And I had just recently gotten a CD recorder and I could digitize records. So I managed to convince Mark to send me the Power Pearls records. I would digitize it, send him back his record and a CD copy of it. So then he would have it on CD. I would have it on CD. Win-win. So Mark only wanted to send me one record at a time. He didn't want to send me all 10 Power Pearls records at once. They were expensive records, rare. You could sell them on eBay for a lot of money even then. So he'd send me one record. I'd digitize it, send him his record back with a CD copy of it. Then he'd send me the next one. 10 volumes. So this took a little while. So it got to the point where volumes 1 through 9 were done. I'd gotten each record in the mail, digitized it, sent Mark back his record with a CD copy of it. Now I had a CD copy of it. I had 1 through 9. Now, I didn't know Mark only through email. We emailed back and forth. I think he lived in Virginia. Never met him, never talked to him on the phone. Just emails, just about trading records. You know, I want this, I want that. So we'd done volumes 1 through 9. There was one left, Power Pearls volume 10. I get an email from Mark's brother that Mark had died. Now, I knew through emails, little hints here and there, Mark had health issues. I don't know what the health issues were. I don't know anything about it. I knew he had some sort of health issues. So it wasn't a complete surprise, but of course it was shocking. And I'm not going to say it was the first thought that went through my head, but of course, eventually, after the shock wore off, I realized had volumes 1 through 9. There was one left, Power Pearls volume 10. Tough luck. Mark was gone. Wasn't going to happen. But about 2 days later, package arrives in the mail from Mark. Power Pearls volume 10 record inside. So what had happened was, in between the time that Mark went to the post office and mailed that package to me and the time it arrived at my doorstep, Mark had died, but I had Power Pearls Volume 10, and I managed to complete my Power Pearls collection. Thank you, Mark. Rest in peace, man. Now, I think the first song on the first Power Pearls record is the song Every Day, Every Way by a band called The Really Thirds. Great song. Another great song from Power Pearls was a song by a band called The Innocents called One Way Love. Now, there was another band called The Innocents. That's T-S on the end, not C-E, not N-C-E. The Innocents, the Australian band, they might hear on a future episode, they were sort of a power pop band too. This band is not the Australian band. This is another band, female singer, song's called One Way Love. You had no love to show. Another great song from Power Pearls Volume 6 is by a band called White Heat. The song's called Ordinary Joe. It's from a single. The White Heat had a full-length record called In the Zero Hour. It's a really good album, but this song, probably my favorite song by them, is called Ordinary Joe. Couple more from the Power Pearls comps. This is a great one, a band called The Bureaucrats. It's called Feel the Pain. This is a song by a band from New Zealand called the Tectones, called That Girl from Power Pearls, Volume 1. Couple more from Power Pearls. This is one, this UK band called Famous Players. The song's called Who's Kissing You? One more from the Power Pearls comps from Volume 3. This is a band from New York called The Test Doors. Alright, that's going to be it, I guess, for this episode. I'll play everything I missed, everything I forgot. I'll play you a lot more good stuff on the next episode. Maybe two. Let me know. You want more? You want less? There's a lot more. So, going to play more power pop. I'm probably going to do an episode two of the poppy punk stuff. There's a lot of that too. So, if you enjoy these kinds of episodes where I just play a ton of songs, ton of obscure stuff, let me know. Contact me, rockandorrollpodcast.blogspot.com, rockandorrollpodcast on Facebook, rockandorrollpodcast@gmail.com. So everything is rockandorrollpodcast, and you know, or roll, so you got two R's in there, O-R-R-O-L-L at the end. So email me, you know, leave a comment on Facebook. The blog's got links to Facebook, iTunes, Podomatic, you know, the email's on there. Go to the blog, rockandorrollpodcast.blogspot.com. Let me know how you feel about hour and a half of nonstop power pop songs. Hope you like it. And like I said, there'll be another episode coming up soon with a lot more. So to play us out.
What does that mean, to play us out? I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean? To end the show?
Yeah.
I'm going to leave you with a song, one of my favorite songs. I played a song by this band on the first show. It's a band called The Beat. Paul Collins was the drummer in The Nerves. Started his own band after The Nerves called The Beat. They had a 1979 self-titled album. Amazing record. Their second album, almost as good. It's called The Kids Are the Same. By that time, they were going by the Paul Collins Beat. There was a whole issue between them and the English Beat, the band The English Beat, over the name, I guess. So their second record, they were the Paul Collins Beat. The album's called The Kids Are the Same. First song on that album, one of my favorite songs. It's called That's What Life Is All About. Thanks for listening.